Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, joining me now in studio is an actor from Waterford. Well, he's done very well for himself altogether. He has had a sterling career in musical theatre, film and TV. You might know him from Bridgerton or Derry Girls, but he is here to talk about Toy Show the Musical. We are hopping on that bandwagon. The Toy Show's kicking off on Friday and we need to talk about this musical that has got everybody talking. Jamie, how are you?
Ah, morning, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. So give us a lowdown. Toy Show the Musical. What can people expect?
Well, it's a funny one. Everyone asks me that, like, so what's the deal with Toy Show the Musical? And that's the kind of thing where people might be coming with expectations that they're just going to see the Toy Show on a stage. Nah, it's much more than that, like, because this is Toy Show the Musical. So basically, it's a fictional story about a family on a street called Tricycle Street. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. And like every family in Ireland, you know, they're getting ready for the Toy Show. It's such an Irish thing, isn't
yeah.
it? It's such an Irish tradition. And we talk about that a lot in the show. But as we see the story go on, we realise the family we're focusing on, it's a bit different this year because their mum's not around anymore. The dad's lost a bit of the crack. It's like he's lost his mojo a bit. And our leading character, Nell, who's this, you know, amazing girl, she's trying to help her dad, like I say, get his crack back, and using kind of the build up to Toy Show to help him and help her family as well. And then something happens that threatens actually the actual Toy Show itself. But I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but by the end of the show, you're in for a big, big blowout. Let's put it that way.
Who do you play?
I play the dad.
You're misery dad.
Crackless dad. Well, I know. Yeah, you might say that. I don't have kids myself and I've suddenly come into this casting bracket and I'm going, oh my God, I'm playing dads now. What am I doing?
Oh God. Yeah. What's it like working with kids?
Well, they say never work with kids and animals, and we have 34 kids in there and no animals. I think we have enough, you know. It's amazing. Look, these kids are like, they're fearless. That's the one thing you kind of see straight away. When I was a kid, I was shy and all the rest. I'm going into rehearsals now. I've seen these kids and they're absolutely fearless. They're going to be playing to like 2,000 people a night. It's mental. And the talent is crazy. That's really amazing to kind of to see. No, they're a great bunch. They keep us on our toes. I tell you that for nothing.
Good on them. I'd love to know a little bit more about your background. You're from Waterford, obviously, but you spent a lot of time in London. Where the work is, let's be honest. You went to a very posh musical theatre school, is that right?
Well, a long time ago now. I went to the Guildford School of Acting, which, you know, is very well known for its musical theatre. And I went from Waterford to there because I wanted to pursue a career in professional musical theatre. And that wasn't really in this country at the time. So it's interesting, you know, I'm back all these years later. I mean, I moved away 23 years ago. Yeah. And Toy Show the Musical and the scale of it, to be honest, is as big as some of the West End stuff I've worked on. It's meant. We've a double revolve in the rehearsal room, and I've worked on revolving stage, but never on a double. So I'm kind of really excited. So yeah, that's right. I went away a million years ago to study musical theatre, and no one would really know me as a musical kind of person. Funny enough, because they might know me from Bridgerton and Derry Girls and stuff like that.
Can we talk about Bridgerton?
No bother. Yeah.
Remind people who you played.
God, I played Nigel Burbrook, nasty Nigel. I think it's going to be on my headstone. You know, I was the most hated man on the internet for about 3 months when it came out. But God, it's a gift that keeps on given. I was only in two episodes of the first series, that's all, and people still, you know, kind of remember and talk about the character, which is, you know, that's a great compliment.
What was the audition process like for that?
Pretty easy. I just did a self tape and I got offered the part.
It was
so
crazy.
Weird. Oh yeah, and I tell you, I'll be really honest with you, it was the worst self tape I've ever done, and I'm not just saying that. I remember they sent me 13 pages of script. It's a posh English twit, and I'm thinking they have real posh English twits in England.
Loads of them.
Absolutely. So what am I doing? Like, I'm a blah from Waterford, you know, do me tape. There's 13 pages. I barely know the lines. I just send off what I get through. And out of nowhere, then they send me back this offer. And I kind of go, okay. And I remember the first read through that I did, you know, you do a read through, and the producer and director coming over to me and saying to me, you know, nice to meet you, you know, and all the rest. And I said, oh, thanks very much. You know, I'm really excited to be here. I was so nervous. They looked at me and went, where are you from? because they didn't know I was Irish. I thought, God, I'll be sacked by the end of the day. But no, sure, look, I got away with it, like, so thank God.
Good on you. And then, of course, Derry Girls.
Yeah.
We love a bit of Derry Girls. And you you worked with Tommy Tiernan. What was that like?
Oh, great. I mean, that set was lethal. trying to get through a scene and not laugh, because whatever about, like, there's funny bones and all the people there, that's grand. But those scripts were so hilarious.
I have a little clip. I just want to remind people. Yeah, have a listen to this.
Quinn, you say?
That's right.
Here we go.
Great.
That'll be £3.75, please. And have you got your wee docket there?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's a wee red slip of paper, about yay big.
Yeah.
Dark blue lettering it has.
Yeah, I know.
Not a navy blue now, more like a royal blue.
I know what it looks like.
Times New Roman, I believe the font is called.
I just can't find it. Do you absolutely need it?
I'm afraid I do, sir, yes. Proof of ID.
But you have my surname written on it there.
How do I know that's your surname?
Because I just told you it was my surname.
You could be lying.
Well, why would I lie?
To get your hands on someone else's photos.
And why would I want somebody else's photos? Like, who would pay for somebody else's photos?
A stalker, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Very good, sir. A stalker.
How did you get through that? I mean, even just listening to it, I can imagine the crack on set and trying to get through those scripts.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. And Tommy would look at me and he'd wet himself, like, and I'd look at Tommy. And funny enough with Tommy, I think he's brilliant in the series, but he's the straight man.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Like, everyone around him is a bit mad and he's the straight man. I think that's the genius of that casting.
You've worked with Nicola Coughlan, who is an Irish hero at this stage, twice on two different projects.
Yeah, well, actually three.
She's sick of you. You sick of her?
No. God, she's very good to me, I'll be honest with you. It's brilliant. And Nicola's a good friend and everything. And I also did a podcast comedy that she did as well. So she put up a thing recently about kind of, it's in her contract that, you know, I need to be, and I've no problem with that. Do you know what I mean? To see her star shoot up like that, and I'm kind of going on the coattails. No bother.
Give me a gig, yes. Just some amazing shows to be involved in. Mm. And now a Toy Show, the musical, is going to be a massive hit. I mean, that's a given. I think we all feel it. You know, you feel
there's a buzz
something
about
special.
It, isn't there? Yeah, yeah. And definitely. I tell you, you want to be in the rehearsal room. It's a complete magic. Like, I'll be honest with you straight up. When they first contacted me about it, I said, Toy Show, the musical. You get very cynical. Irish people can be cynical, you know. And I kind of looked at it and I thought about it then. And I was thinking, a Toy Show, of course. Like, that's something we own. That's ours, you know. And then a musical about it. And the people involved are amazing. And I just went, wow, yeah.
We were talking off air. It's a really weird thing to try and describe to, let's, outsiders, you know, American friends, English friends. You're trying to describe what the Toy Show is. And they have to see it to believe it.
I think so, yeah. And actually, like, when I got the offer for it, when they approached me, trying to explain to my English agent what it is. And she's going, are you for real? I said, no, seriously, this is what it is.
This is big. Now, I'm telling you, everybody in the country watches it. This is a big thing. So you're telling me it's a gangly looking fella on the telly for 3 hours talking about toys and chatting to children and doing a musical number at the top of the... Yes, it's magical.
Yeah. And it's something we all grew up with. I remember it in the 80s in Waterford, you know, watching it and seeing all these ties I was never going to get, like, you know. That was part of the crack. Yeah. But even in the show,
segment.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, hurry up
depends,
with the book
depends, depends what you're into, yeah. Trikes and bikes. And we have all those bits in, like, that's in the show as well. There's nods to all that kind of stuff. And we even have a kid who's German, and the poor kid is, like, asking his friends, he's just arrived on the street and he's asking his friends, what is this? It all sounds a bit traumatic, you know, and that's the crack, you know.
It sounds amazing. Listen, I just want to touch on this really quickly, because it sounds like you've had this glittering career and you're working all the time. You're on Bridgerton and Derry Girls and Toy Show and the musical, but it wasn't all plain sailing for you, was it? Yeah. You had a bit of a health scare.
Yeah, well, more than a scare, I suppose. I have had over the years health issues. I was diagnosed in 2007 with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a cancer of the lymphatic system, and I relapsed 2 years later, actually. So kind of had it twice and then had a bone marrow transplant after that. Now, that's 13 years ago, so, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm doing really, really well, and it's really interesting, okay, because, like, say, you know, being on Derry Girls, being on Bridgerton, now Toy Show and all that, and, you know, it's suddenly given me a little bit of a platform to kind of talk about it. And I've just been talking with a number of times on a number of different platforms about that, because, like, I was a 30-year-old man when this happened, and men don't talk about that. and they don't talk about being ill, and they don't talk about, and a lot of times they won't go to the doctor about it and stuff like that.
Well, isn't it true you were in a show, it was an opening,
was, yeah,
and you found a lump that wasn't painful?
No, not at all.
Just you describe it as like a rubbery, just a little lump that you had, you felt no pain, you didn't feel sick. So what prompted you to go get checked?
I don't know. My own anxiety, maybe. I mean, that was the luck of it, I think. I just kind of went, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I had lost weight. I'd lost a good bit of weight. But at the time, I was playing Roy Keane Aikino in the Olympia. And I thought, like, I was getting ready and getting in shape for it. And I thought, God, I'm doing really well. And then I went, oh, no, that's the reason I'm dropping weight so quickly. And I was so lucky I went early, because the early diagnosis leads to good prognosis. And that's a big thing. And like I say, man, Irish men, I think, as well, you know what I mean? Where you're there and you're sitting there going, look, it's grand, it's nothing. And a lot of the time it is nothing, but it's better to go and it's better to get it checked out. And it was a mad old time, but like I say, touch wood, 13 years later, I'm still going, and all my hair is back and everything.
Yeah. And you're back on stage in front of 2,000 people a night?
Oh, don't say that to me.
Holy moly, that's a big house to fill.
Oh, it is indeed. But look, that's exciting too. Like, that's the thing, scale. And not being afraid of it, and an adventure to jump into. And that's what Taisho the Musical has certainly been from the minute I got involved in it. And it's been immense and amazing. And it's a huge thing in Irish theatre as well to have something of this scale. Because a lot of the time it comes over from England.
That's right.
Yeah, and now, no, this is completely
this is
homegrown.
Ours. This is ours.
Yeah,
and we need to support
every
it.
Way.
Yeah. Listen, Jamie Beamish, lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. So Taisho the Musical, it opens December 10th. It's at the Convention Centre in Dublin. Tickets are priced at €25. And for further information and to purchase those tickets, go to www.rte.ie/Taisho the Musical. Tickets are on sale now.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.